First Peter chapter 2. The Apostle Peter, from verse 11 to verse 20 in this chapter, gives us instructions on how believers are to live in this world. And these are good instructions. These are such good instructions. When I first looked at them, I thought about going through all of those verses and just looking at all of the instructions together. And when I got into it, I only made it to verse 11. We're just going to look at one verse this morning. But he deals with not only how we are to be inside, how we are to conduct ourselves, conduct our person. Not only does he deal with that, he deals with particular situations. And you'll see, you'll agree, this is needful instruction for all believers. He deals with how to handle and how to respond to certain things that we all deal with, things we're faced with every day. The reason that our God has recorded this in his word is because we need to know what his will is concerning a lot of different things in this world. We need to know his will. Peter starts with the inner man. And then he talks about the outer man. He is going to talk about the government. He's going to talk about our jobs. He's going to talk about our relationships with other people. How we are to conduct ourselves in this world. And it's important that we understand, this is extremely important, that we understand that at no time does Peter preach works for salvation. At no time, he's about to tell us how to be and how to conduct ourselves and what we ought to do. And at no time does he preach works for salvation. None of these instructions are conditions for salvation. None of them. None of them. Look at verse 11. This is the first one, and the one we'll look at today. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. If we don't do that, if we don't abstain from fleshly lusts, if we end up not being able to ward those off, if they overtake us, we will not fall from God's free grace for it. We will not. We will not end up losing our salvation over it. Peter knew that firsthand. Peter knew it firsthand. He could not ward it off. While our Lord was standing there on trial, about to go to the cross, he could not ward it off. As soon as he finished denying his Lord, rejecting his Lord, cursing his Lord, as soon as he finished doing all that, the Lord looked at him. That's always been such an awesome moment. Here he is. Denying the Lord, rejecting the Lord, cursing the Lord. I don't know him. I don't want to know him. How dare you associate me with him? And the Lord just looked at him. And it slew him. It slew him. You know, there are things that happen to us in life that we never get over. Some things we just never. You think Peter ever got over that? How often did that come back to his mind? Oh, can't believe I did that. Well, that's the reason why Peter wrote what he wrote. That's the that's what we're going to look at in these verses as we go through them. But Peter could say from firsthand experience, after the Lord had risen, And he told Mary, you go tell my disciples and Peter. You go tell Peter. He knew from firsthand experience that God's grace was God's grace, ordered and sure. And Peter said in this chapter, he said, if you believe on the chief cornerstone, if you have cast your all, if you have fallen on him for mercy, Lord, I need mercy. I am not what I want to be. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm the opposite of that. And I need mercy. I need your blood to cover me. He said, if you've fallen on him for mercy, you're secure. You're secure. Look at verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. If God chose to save you, then that election and that salvation is ordered and sure. It is ordered and sure. Don't we all say thank God for that? Ordered and sure. Your eternal security is not dependent on anything but the work that Christ accomplished on the cross. That's it. All right, now there are two responses to that. There are two responses to that. This will evidence whether Christ has performed that work for me. All right, there are two responses to that. And once you hear them, you probably have run into it. You've probably experienced it firsthand. You have an unbeliever's response to that, and you have a believer's response to that. The unbeliever says, well, if that's the case, if it's ordered and sure, if Christ accomplished the work and it's finished and done, and I can't mess it up and all of these things, I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. If it's ordered and sure, all these instructions that he's given, I don't have to listen to that. I can do whatever I want to do. I can just live like I want to. If that's the case, I can just go live like I want to. That's an unbeliever's response. A believer says, this is how I want to live. Now, I don't do it. Not like I want to. Not like I'm looking forward to doing one day soon. But I want to. I do. I want to. If that's what my God has instructed me to do, then that's what I want to do. And the reason is because I love him. I love him. I respect his word. Don't we respect his word? I respect my father's word. I respect Marvin Stoniker's word. I just do. I love him. And we say the same thing about our Heavenly Father. We respect his word. We desire to honor and obey and please and serve and follow the God that we love. We do. And we know that if we do follow him, that's him drawing us and dragging us along the way. We give him all glory for all things. But we do. We do. That's a believer's response to it. Now, if God has put that heart in us, then this is the instruction he gives to us. He says in verse 11, dearly beloved, those that I dearly love, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. May this sink in for our good. I mean, may this sink in for our good. We know what fleshly lusts are. We know what fleshly lusts are. It's almost everything. Almost every single thing. Almost everything in this world, almost everything that is in us. And the only reason I say almost is because Christ dwells in His people. Everything out there, everything in here is at war with our soul. This is the honest truth. This is the honest truth. Everything out there and in here is at war with our soul. It's at war with the stance that we've taken for the gospel. It's at war with our desire for the things of God. We have a desire for these things, and everything is against that. It's at war with our peace. We could have absolute peace. If we would just trust the Lord Jesus Christ, we could have absolute peace and contentment. But everything is going against us. Everything is at war with our peace. Everything is at war with our conscience. Turn over a few pages to 1 John chapter 2. First John 2, verse 16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Everything that is out there in the world, all of it is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that's not of the Father, that's of the world. Look with me at James chapter 1. James 1 verse 13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." And what a horrible thing to be. Drawn away of our own lust and enticed. So these lusts of the flesh are without and they are within. We are bombarded with them. We are bombarded with them. All of us. We're bombarded by them. Peter said, Believers, if a person is a believer, not every person is a believer. Believers, I'm sending out a call to action. With whatever ability the Lord will give us, let's try to actively, consciously hinder some of these things that are harmful to us spiritually. It's a call to action. Hindrances to our spiritual state. Hindrances to our spiritual worship. Hindrances to our spiritual growth. We want to grow. We do. We want to grow spiritually. Look with me at Mark chapter 4. This is our Lord giving the parable of the sower. The seed is thrown out, which is the word of God. The seed, the words of our God, they're thrown out. And he says in Mark 4, verse 18, "And these are they which are sown among thorns." This is a thorny ground hearer. "Such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Now, can we not identify with that? I'm a thorny ground hearer. Okay, that's me. That's me. The word goes out, and we want so badly to hear it. If you had your choice, would you rather soak up every word that God gives to us or have it choked out? We want to soak it up. We want to hear it so badly. But what we believe are such important matters, and I have them too. We think that's something I really need to think about right now. I got to go ahead and get that settled in my mind. It's an important matter. Let me take care of that, and then I'll get back to things that we believe are such important matters. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, they start entering in and they choke the word. They choke the word. It becomes unfruitful. The seed is not planted and the fruit of the Spirit does not grow. This happens to believers all the time. All the time, all the time, all the time. What Peter is saying is go to war with these things. Go to war with these things. This is vital instruction from one of God's apostles. Go to war with these things. They're at war with you. They're at war with you. They're actually called fiery darts sent from the adversary. And they don't just come during a worship service. They come all the time. All the time. Go to the movies. All right, buy a movie ticket, get you some popcorn and a Coke, and sit down and see how hard it is for you to focus on that movie. It's not going to be hard at all. You're going to soak it up. You're going to remember it. You're going to walk out singing the songs. And there are no fiery darts during that. That's got your attention. But daily, daily, try to get your mind on Christ. Try to think on Christ. Try to pray to Him. Try to do these things and see what happens. Just see what happens. Peter said, go to war. Go to war. Fleshly temptations of every kind, not just lewd, you know, inappropriate things. All kinds of things. All kinds of things. Anything that will steal our attention away from Christ Jesus our Lord. And the faith that comes from hearing more of Him. The more we hear of Him, the more faith we have. The peace that comes from hearing His voice. If He just will bless one word, He speaks through His word. And if He'll take one word and bless it to the heart, that brings so much peace. It reminds us He's still near to me. I'm still His. He's still mine. The assurance that comes from remembering His blood. We come in here and we say, yeah, we're as bad as we think we are, and we're as bad as this word says we are, but the blood of Christ has covered all that. And the comfort that comes from reading His promises, the happiness that comes from looking to eternity with Him. Every time I'm able to enter into that moment of eternity, that brings me happiness. Peter said, try as hard as you can to block out every fleshly lust that wars against that. Make a conscious effort. A conscious effort to abstain from these things. Now, I have an illustration that I believe is a pretty good one. This is not an illustration of a fleshly lust. This is an illustration of a conscious effort to abstain. All right? A conscious effort for some of these things that are dangerous. The necessity, the absolute necessity of a believer abstaining from all these things, not for eternal good, Christ settled that, but for the course of this life, for our everything spiritual about the course of our life, the necessity of this conscious effort. It has started to sink in to me how bad and how dangerous texting while driving is. Everybody said that. Everybody said don't do it. And I didn't care. I've been guilty of it many times. But it is starting to hit me that I could bring great harm to myself. I could bring great harm to my family if I don't stop doing that. What I'm doing is I'm taking my mind in that moment off of the one thing needful. I got something necessary in front of me. I got something that is an issue of life in front of me. And I'm distracting myself with fleshly lust. It just goes, di-di-ding, whoa, who was that? You know what I'm talking about. And it's really sinking in. This is dangerous. This is dangerous. Just do it once or twice and realize I almost hit that car. Slam on your brakes. And if the Lord will help me, and I'm not saying that I'm good at anything and good at resolve and all that kind of stuff, but if the Lord will help me, I want to stop. I really do. I look down, I hear that little ding, and I want to start thinking, don't do that. It can wait. I want to stop. I want to abstain from it. I see the harm in it. I see the danger in it. And I want, if the Lord will allow me to, I want to make that decision. That's foolish. Stop being foolish. Don't do that. And I want to wake up. This is it. May the Lord help me to do that. What Peter's saying is, let's apply this same knowledge to spiritual matters, spiritual things. If I'm doing something that's a hindrance to my focus on Christ and my hearing the gospel, Lord, help me to stop doing it. Just help me to stop doing it. Abstain from it. Paul told Timothy to warn the brethren of the lust of wanting to be rich. There's some lusts in particular that are mentioned through the scripture. And he told Timothy, warn the brethren of the lust of wanting to be rich, which every man and woman wants without exception. He said it's a hurtful lust that drowns men in destruction. He said the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Brought heartache, heartache, heartache. It's important to notice that he didn't say money is the root of all evil. He said the love of money. The love of money, the desire to have it and hoard it and hold it and pile it. And the love of money is a hurtful to ourselves, fleshly lust. I want everybody in here to do well. I want everybody in here to do well. I want you to have good jobs. I want you to be able to support your families. I want you to be able to support God's gospel, His ministry. But may the Lord allow us, as it comes in, to abstain from the lust of it. Just the lust of it. What He has given to us. I got it. I want more of it. I got to do anything it takes to get more of it. At some point, either you or a believer you know will say, my job is moving me away from the gospel. At some point, either you or a believer you know will say, my job is moving me away from the gospel. It's a good job. I get paid well. I have great benefits, such on and so forth. Quit your job. Abstain from it. You can't tell a man to quit his job. You're going to get behind a pulpit. That man might listen to you. He might quit his job. He's going to cut off his income to his family. You cannot tell a man to quit his job. I can't tell a man to leave the gospel. I sure can't do that. That's the one thing needful in this life. And it's happened so many times. It's happened so many times. If that ever happens to anyone here, based on the Word of God, quit your job for Christ's sake and the gospel's, and then watch and see what happens. Based on the Word of God, I'm totally just casting this statement on the promise of His Word. If it's going to move you away from the gospel of Christ, quit your job for the gospel's sake and then see what happens. Paul told Timothy to warn about youthful lust, all of these things that we went after in our youth, things that are not really significant at all. They just don't matter. Things that steal our time and our attention away from Christ and His people. He warned about naive lust, putting ourselves in a position where we just let our guard down. We're not watchful. We're not sober. James warned of praying to God in such a way, and see if this one doesn't hit home. Praying to God in such a way where we're asking amiss that we may consume it upon our lust. Asking, would you do this for me because that's what I want to see done? We're our own worst enemy. He knows the end. We don't. He knows what's best. We don't. The Lord said, when you pray, say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And just leave it there. All right. Go back to our text and we'll end with this. Peter started this chapter 2, 1 Peter 2. He started the chapter by saying in verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, those are all fleshly lusts. And he said, make a conscious effort to lay all that stuff aside, abstain from it. And he said in verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Newborn babes have not had the opportunity to enter into too many fleshly lusts yet. They have some, but not very many. And isn't it wonderful, isn't it refreshing when the Lord floods us with thoughts of Him? When He honestly sends His Spirit and we enter into His purity and His holiness and how good He is and how right He is. And just for a second, we just set the filth of the flesh down. Isn't that wonderful? Like we're washed with the water of the Word. Just for a moment, it's like we take a shower. We're washed with the water of the Word. Those moments and those times are good for the soul. They are good for the soul. God sends those times and He gets all the glory for it. But here's some wise instruction from God's apostle. He said, let's do everything that we can to do away with everything that is a hindrance to that washing of the Word. God does it and God gets the glory for it. And let's do away with everything we can to hinder it. Moses wrote this. He said in Deuteronomy 12, verse 28, observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever. When thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. What is good and right in the sight of the Lord our God? Hear Him. Believe on Him. Bow to Him. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to do that. Okay, you're dismissed.